Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's your favorite Diddy song?
Oh, gosh.
Don't
put him in that spot.
Don't do that. Come on.
Don't do that. We will not discuss that with you. I wanted to start.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah, I wanted to start with the individual that is in town today, reportedly, and that is one Kareem Hunt. We obviously know the background there, and he was cut and lied to the team, the video, all that from 2018. But it looks like he's going to sign with the team. Is that going to happen today?
I believe so, gentlemen. I believe if everything goes well, he will sign to the practice squad. And you can even see Kareem Hunt in a Chiefs uniform as soon as next week, right? I mean, this is quite the way the season has moved so far, even just through two games. It just quite tells you how fast things move in the NFL. But, it was interesting, Alex, that Andy Reid said, well, I'm going to roll with the guys I have, which is obviously Samaje Perine and rookie Carson Steele. But, Brett Veach is going through his list, whatever the list is. And I'm like, the list is like four players. Like, is Jerick McKinnon wanting to come back now or maybe later in the season if given an opportunity? And, Kareem Hunt's been working out. And so here we are. I guess Kareem is going, I don't know if the workout's still continuing. I believe it may have already happened today. So you do the workout, you do the physical, you have a nice chit chat, and if everything goes well, he'll be with the team on the practice squad as early as tomorrow. Again, if everything goes well, and I haven't heard anything different since this morning.
Maybe this is a silly ask, and I assume it means he'll end up on the active roster eventually, but with three open spots on the 53-man, why not just put him on the roster, Nate? Like, are there three other guys they're planning on elevating before Sunday?
Well, I think that's something that they are discussing, at least as of yesterday. Again, the plan, I believe, from what I've heard, is that to ease him into, to acclimate him into football activities, because, again, like, he had no training camp, obviously had no preseason. Andy Reid's going to, try to do the best by Kareem. Let me give you a week or two. Let me get you back in the swing of things. Obviously, the playbook, how much that's changed in, the last 6-7 years. Of course, then he's got to get through, just the normal, hey, what role can we get you to sooner rather than later so that you may have a couple snaps, obviously be dressed for the following game against the Los Angeles Chargers, who, by the way, could be 3-0 against 3-0, and so, hey, how can we get you available to be a rotational player in that game? Obviously, then you have the bye week, and then, of course, you could obviously side him to the active roster at that point if that is your prerogative. I just get the sense that the Chiefs know that they can obviously elevate guys from the practice squad for Sunday night's game against the Atlanta Falcons, but they don't necessarily have to do that anyway, just based on the entire roster being healthy outside of Pacheco and Hollywood Brown, knowing that you have to put guys on the inactive list anyway. So it's one way to, like, small percentage-wise save some money, I guess. But at the same time, they're going to try to give Kareem a more natural, leading up to his first ever snap in his return to the Chiefs. Again, if everything goes well. So they don't have to rush it because it's only week two. But there are certain things you can do for a running back to get him up to speed faster than maybe a receiver or a defensive back.
So what do you think the room just looks like? And let's fast forward 3 weeks and he's there. At that point, Clyde's eligible. Doesn't mean he will, but he's eligible to come off the NFI list. We know Carson Steele and P. Ryan. Do you think it's just going to be a ride the hot hand running back by committee? Like at any point this season, do you envision any of those names getting anywhere near the type of touches that Isaiah Pacheco was in terms of number wise?
Right. So just for context purposes, I mean, it was clear the Cincinnati Bengals were like, we dare you to beat us left-handed, right? We dare you to actually hand the ball off to Isaiah Pacheco, you know, 25 times. And the Chiefs pretty much almost did it. But I don't think we're going to see anybody get more than, what, 14, 15, maybe 18 carries if, like you say, you get the hot hand on against a certain opponent on a certain day. My anticipation of this is the Chiefs, this is even back during the offseason, hey, we would love to have four really good running backs, just like we love to have four capable tight ends, right? The problem is they really only had two, and that included Clyde Edwards-Helaire at the start of training camp. Now, nobody knew that Carson Steele was going to be this good, this fast, but the Chiefs would still like to do him a service and be a traditional guy that comes in as a change of pace, short yardage. Hey, if we need a fullback, if we need an extra guy, or just someone to spell someone, that's supposed to be Carson Steele. Carson Steele's, like, half his job is supposed to be special teams, right?
Sure.
Not being the leading running back. So you could bring Clyde Edwards-Helaire back as, like, the secondary guy. If you want to have Kareem Hunt take the majority of the carries, that still allows you to have Samaje Perine as your third down back, who can also fill in on special teams if needed, and can give you a better receiving option than either Carson Steele or Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Kareem Hunt. But I do think if everything was to go as ideal as you possibly can, considering this injury to Pacheco, hey, you'd have all four guys dressed. That way you have four different options. But leading the way, again, if he's healthy, if he's back into the swing, if he looks good, would be Kareem Hunt as your number one back, and then you have options sort of behind him so that he doesn't have to take, you know, 18 to 20 carries, because that would be asking a lot from him, despite the fact that, again, he really has not been with the team since last season.
I assume you're doing the same thing we're doing, which is going back and watching some of the Browns tape from last year. Do you think Kareem Hunt is still good?
There's a chance because of the interior offensive line, and if Jawan get back to some consistent level in terms of his play, and who knows who's going to be left tackle, right? I do think the likelihood is that Kingsley Suamataia is the starter Sunday night against the Atlanta Falcons, but there's a chance offensive line and with, you know, either the what the Chiefs have shown these first 2 weeks is that really Noah Gray is very good at blocking, coming across the formation, crashing down on guys, obviously getting certain angles if you want to do some counter plays. But obviously, they could just sort of hand him the ball in single-back formations, him being Kareem Hunt, and just let him go forward because he is capable of getting yards after contact. That is one of the biggest differentiators between someone like Zach Moss on Sunday, who was pretty bad for the Cincinnati Bengals, and someone like Isaiah Pacheco, who can make a 2 yard gain be a 4 or 5 yard gain. That's all you're going to be asking from Kareem Hunt. Hey, maybe you get the occasional splash play, but can you lean and fall forward in a way that it doesn't put the entire burden on Patrick Mahomes, you know, getting you out of 3rd and 10 situations? Because of how good the offensive line is, there is a chance with fresh legs, with all the motivation, knowing that this is probably the twilight of his career, the Chiefs have the chance to maybe squeeze the last bit of good juice out of the legs of Kareem Hunt. Again, if he's healthy, if he stays on the right path, and obviously can make it through multiple games. I think that was an issue he had last year too, was, hey, because of the Nick Chubb injury, we gave you all these carries and his production sort of started to deteriorate, which is why he wasn't on a team this offseason.
We're talking to Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic. You briefly mentioned the left tackle spot. What's your read on that? We were, of course, listening to Andy just like you yesterday. And for him to say that, I still don't think they make the switch to Wanye, because all offseason, clearly it was Kingsley. There wasn't really a competition. Yeah. And after 1 week, right, they're going to flip on the rookie. I think that would be a huge move.
Yes. You know, even talking to some people, you know, like Jeff Schwartz, who I referenced in my article today in The Athletic, he believes Kingsley's going to be the starter, you know, against the Falcons. I think Travis Kelce sort of gave that indication, too. I asked him after the game, hey, what are you saying to Kingsley? How do you encourage him? And so I think for the most part, it's a lot easier for Wanya Morris and Kingsley Suamata'ia to kind of stay in their roles right now, right? It was very clear to me that Kingsley was like, I need to prepare better so that I'm better capable of having my play be more consistent. It's not a level of talent. It's quite clear to me, guys, even in the limited snaps we saw of Wanya Morris, it's not like Wanya Morris comes in the game and the playbook all of a sudden starts to expand. It actually goes differently. It actually shrinks a little bit because of his limitations from his athleticism. Now, I think it's an onus on the coaching staff, most notably Andy Reid and Matt Nagy, and I'll ask this question later in the week, but like for everyone who says, hey, give that kid chip help, they really didn't do it in the most important times of the second half. And with a Pro Bowler like Trey Hendrickson, he sort of figured out ways to counteract anything that Kingsley did or any mistake he made in his pass sets, his footwork, his hand placement, his punch. He had all the answers. So, you know, I know the Atlanta Falcons are going to see that on film, which means you got to clean up your technique. But you also have to get better at coaching now that Pacheco is not going to be on the field, and he was the guy that you were mostly using chip help to help Kingsley. You need to get Samaje Perine. You need to get guys ready to help him if necessary, or you need to get in more two tight end formations where the tight end is actually attached to the left tackle so that there's just not a clear one-on-one if you know you have to drop back in a certain situation. So it's going to take some adjusting from the coaching staff just as much as it is going to be, hey, can Kingsley play better? Can he prepare himself better for these sort of situations against really talented pass rushers? But at the same time, you have all these other avenues at your disposal, right? I think some people look at the throwing chart of Patrick Mahomes this past Sunday, right, and all those green dots either near the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage. That is a way to sort of relieve the pressure on a offensive tackle who's young in his second career game. You're going to have to continue to do that, but you're going to have to get more creative with your screens, your jet sweeps, the occasional playing off of that, which is show one thing to the defense, then go over the top if you get a certain look that you like. There's a lot of things that they can do, but I think Kingsley is the more talented athlete. Kingsley is the better prospect. That's why you took him in the second round, right? The only way he can really improve is honestly by playing. So it would be a really discouraging sign if Andy Reid said, actually, I need Wanya to start against the Atlanta Falcons, because the Atlanta Falcons don't have anybody like Trey Hendrickson, despite the fact that they look to be a better defense than they were a year ago.
Nate, I'm curious because, like, obviously we watch Kansas City and we just watched the lowest passing output in a healthy game in Patrick Mahomes' career. There are only 5 300-yard passers for the first 2 weeks this season. There were 15 last year. Through 2 weeks, 300-yard passers. What do you think's happening with offense in the NFL? Is this just the cover two still taking it by storm? A downtick? Why is offense so stymied early on here? Because I don't think the Chiefs are alone in this. I think this is a league-wide thing.
Yeah, I do think there's a league-wide issue, and I have a couple points as to a theory as to why I think this is happening, right? The first one is, guys, I've said this before, and I will continue to say it. We don't have – this is a job for 32 men. We ain't got 32 of them.
Yeah, okay? Like
we barely
12?
Got 12, okay? We barely got 12. Guys, listen to me right now. In the top 10 discussion, is Baker Mayfield and Derek Carr full stop?
Probably Geno
those are
Smith?
Some of the best. Yeah, and Geno Smith, sure. Put him in the list. Like, we don't have 32 good quarterbacks. Hell, we don't even have 16, okay? We're scratching for the 14th and the 15th guy right now. Part of that is also because rookies are playing earlier than they should ever do. And offensive line play is down, so you can't necessarily protect and throw the ball as deep as you want against those, you know, shell coverages, cover four, cover two, inverted cover six if you need to. I also think, too, because guys aren't playing in the preseason, all the pre-snap penalties, all the formation issues, all the, you know, getting in the huddle, getting the play call, get up to the line of scrimmage so that your rookie quarterback can actually discern what the hell he's looking at before the snap of the ball. when you don't do that in the preseason, the first games in the regular season really speed up everybody's clock, because this is not training camp, guys. This isn't just some normal practice on. The other team is trying to beat the crap out of you, and defenses have gotten really good, at least through the first 2 weeks, at actually tackling. And so I think what defensive coordinators are figuring out is, hey, if we just show most of these quarterbacks, you will not throw the ball over the top of us, then most of the offensive coaches are adjusting to say, okay, well, let's get our guys the ball in space. And you know what you do with that? You rally and you tackle. And most defenses, at least through 2 weeks, are rallying and tackling. And because you have young receivers who, again, have not played before in the league, hey, Malik Nabers, love you to death. God, I need you to catch that ball late in the fourth quarter. Hey, I know Isaiah Likely's really good at this whole tight end thing. Kind of needs you to be in bounds, or at least be in a position where you can help your quarterback in a late game situation. Or hey, you know, when Lamar Jackson throws you a absolute gorgeous throw in the last minute against the Las Vegas Raiders, I need you to catch the ball, son. That's how we get points up. That's how we get yards per attempt up. So it's a number of things, but I think defenses are tackling better. We do not have 16 good quarterbacks in this league, which is crazy. And hey, some of the receivers can do a better job of catching the ball, making a guy miss. But the defense coordinators have an upper hand right now, and it's up to the offensive players and coaching staff to sort of figure out how we can get more explosive plays so that defenses are not sort of dictating the tempo this early in September. That is normally not the case. Defenses usually catch up in like October, around week 6, week 7, week 8, because they've actually seen what you have on tape. This time around, it's just defense being like, cool, he's not going to throw it deep. Great. I can jump routes. I can tackle and rally and know I have multiple guys behind me who are able to tackle. And oh, by the way, the quarterbacks stink.
We got Nate Taylor from The Athletic, our Chiefs insider, joining us here on Cody and Gold on 96.5 The Fan. What are you seeing from Travis Kelce? I know nationally in particular has been conversation about him. We know the production hasn't been there 2 weeks into the season, but I felt like he was getting open yesterday, or 2 days ago, I guess it's been, against Cincinnati. So should people be worried?
No. Stop it.
I'm with you.
Okay. It's okay. Look.
I'm not worried.
We got fantasy. We got, you know, betting involved. Should the Chiefs have won that game on Sunday? No. Are you happy they did? Sure. Did they beat them by the point spread? No. But this is the thing that I think – it's a new reality, and also because Travis is healthy, it's not like something we can just immediately point to and say, well, oh, he's coming off the ankle or the knee injury that he had last year. I think what Travis Kelce's doing is pretty smart. He's actually focusing more on being a decoy, trying to be a good blocker. Obviously, he had a great block on Xavier Worthy's first touch that obviously went for a touchdown against the Baltimore Ravens. He's actually been open, as you say, Mr. Gold, quite a bit. When I look at the All-22, I'm like, oh, that's normal Travis Kelce. We haven't even gotten to, like, fun Travis Kelce yet, which is, hey, okay, here are the routes that I actually did in training camp, and here are the routes that, like, I haven't shown yet. So they've won two games despite Patrick not really playing well, despite Travis Kelce not really being a focal point in the offense, which I think is fine because as long as he's healthy in November, December, and January, the offense has a stabilizing force that will allow you to obviously be in any game against any quality opponent. So even though Travis had a chance to score a touchdown, I would like to remind people that, like, it wasn't the Bengals that stopped him. It was Trey Smith. Poor Trey Smith. He was like, I'm just trying to find someone to block. And Travis is like, well, the short screen is supposed to get me in the end zone. So he's a yard short, right? Hey, finally, Patrick's like, okay, I kind of figured out what I have to do here in the fourth quarter. I got to move around. Kingsley's having some struggles. Let me throw it to Travis on a little scramble, you know, drill. And that goes for 41 yards, and it's never in the box score because Kingsley Suamata-Ia gets called for a holding penalty. And I don't know if I totally agree with Tony Romo when he says, look, he saw Logan Wilson sort of crashing down in that red zone throw where he just sort of dirted the ball on accident. Cause I think he wants to give Travis Kelce a chance, particularly in the red zone, but hey, it happens. Even on Wanya Morris's touchdown, Travis Kelce is wide open and you can see on video, Travis going, hey, that's okay. Okay. Okay.
It's
okay,
more fun to throw it to Wanya in that situation.
Yeah. Okay. That's right. That's what the play is designed for. It's not really designed for me. So I do want to ask Travis, like, were you ad-libbing on that play? Because you were just as wide open as Wanya was with the, you know, are you anticipating that, hey, because he's eligible, they actually might cover him, so Patrick needs an outlet, so I might be the secondary option. But, dude, I'm so wide open. Okay, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Wanye scores. Yes, it should be Wanye's day. It's okay. But, yeah, I mean, he's doing fine. He's not running, like, super intricate routes yet, but I also think the play calls really haven't been designed for him, and that's okay because he's healthy. The Chiefs have gotten 2 wins. And he's got, what, 15 more of these games to get 1,000 yards? I think he'll be fine.
Nate Taylor
of The Athletic joining us, our Chiefs insider. We appreciate it. We'll get you in studio next week, man. And at that point in time, we'll see if we're talking about 3-0 Chargers Chiefs.
Yeah, I really hope it happens because Jim Harbaugh, man, I salute you. He is the – you can tell when coaches are intentional, stick to their discipline – and, you know, get the help from the schedule where it's like, hey, guys, all we got to do against the Raiders is not do anything dumb. Hey, you know what we got to do against the Carolina Panthers?
Even less.
Hand the ball off. Hand the ball off, son, and hand it off again. So, you know, they get the Steelers this week. I'm sure they'll do a very similar game plan. But yeah, salute to Jim Harbaugh, who's actually got – no one's talking about Justin Herbert, and that's fine because Justin Herbert might be, like, 14th on the list right now. But they're not even asking them to win games because they actually have a smart coach who knows how to win football games with the talent around the quarterback, not putting all the burden on the quarterback's shoulders.
Thanks, Nate. Appreciate it, man.
Yep.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Anytime.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.